Here we go. What's going on, Steve? How you been, man?
Depends. Short answer, great. Long answer, yeah, another time, I guess. I've been. How about you guys?
You've been?
I've been.
I think that's the most appropriate answer for 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah.
What have you been going on out there, dude? We talk every now and then again in our group we got going on. What's been cooking out there in AZ?
You know, I'm realizing that this isn't me asking you guys questions. Let me try to take off the podcast I have for a second. You actually care about me. This is weird. I don't know if you guys know. Well, you should know. Kind of addressing the audience too. But I'm in a full-time active duty guard right now. And as of Tuesday, I just received word that I would be taking over for the company. So I'll be the new company commander, which is a captain role, which is basically I'm now the only adult out of 106 people.
Whoa.
I've been walking around looking like I've seen a ghost. I turned 37 on the same day, so it was either the greatest birthday present ever or the worst. We'll find out in a couple days, or not a couple days, a couple months, how this goes. But yeah, some family stuff. Miles, you're probably tracking that. We're processing that as well. Currently house hunting and just trying not to let this whole COVID BS slow me down. Guys, we all know, I don't want to say like the hustle life, but you know, it's for people like us. I hope it doesn't sound snobby, but it's not enough to just, you know, work and go home. We got to work on other stuff. And even though we're not playing dodgeball right now, we're all still working on stuff. It was really awesome seeing, you know, these MyAthlete boxes come out. You know, this nice little collaboration that the three of us have going on. I've been busy, and I feel like it's not like spinning my wheels just to be busy. I think a lot of stuff is actually happening despite COVID doing everything it can to hinder life right now. So,
yeah,
that's awesome.
It's actually funny that you said that in the beginning, that you got to take your podcaster hat off, because when we were doing ours, Steve, there was so much that I wanted to like ask you back, but I was like, he's hosting. He's steering the ship. I just gotta ride the waves.
What do you call it? Boated. We piloted. We steered that ship for like 2 hours almost.
Two and a half hours.
It was ridiculous.
And we had to cut it short.
Yeah, and we had to start talking. Like, okay, we gotta have like a trilogy of this interview. But get two people talking, I guess that's what happens. But that was still a good conversation. It's one of my favorites.
It was a lot of fun. I'm hoping that this will be kind of the same thing. We're just gonna flip the script onto you though.
God help us all.
Oh boy. See, the funny part was me and Brett, before you hopped up, we were talking about how we get the non-podcast, or not the podcaster, but the interviewer Steve side. We want the interviews E side and see how what we unleash from you. And we're hoping to see some good stuff.
I will try not to disappoint, but I will promise nothing.
That's the appropriate answer.
Yeah, let me just remove some inhibitions here and just try to realize that you guys actually want to ask questions to me, which is weird, but it's good because I can see again what it's like on the reverse side. So
right. It's definitely good to see once in a while to remember what someone that's coming onto your show is going through, or what they are expected of, and just seeing that opposite side. I think it's good.
Yeah. Like, I put people through this. Oh my God, I'm a cool person.
Exactly. But
Steve, we were talking, you kind of referenced it to the MyAthlete box. And for those that don't know, I mean, we already talked to Justin, and we wanted to get you on to here so people could kind of, for lack of a better term, to pull back the curtain and kind of see what's going on at Ball of State, kind of get the origin story, if you want to call it that, because I've never heard it from you. And I would love to hear, you know, how that got its start, what those growing pains looked like, and what you have in store for it.
Actually, before we get there, we should probably tell like the world, or at least our listeners, who Steve is. I mean, I'm assuming like 90% of them already know who he is, but
I guess that's true.
Well, I would say like just for the people that don't know, or like at least some of the international people, because I know at least as far as I'm aware, Steve, you've never gone international. So just kind of tell us who you are, what you do, all that good snazzy stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, Steve Damon, I'm based out of Arizona. Been playing dodgeball since 2004. So I've been around the dodgeball community for a while, to say the least. I almost want to say I've been playing as long as some of these new kids have been born. So that's great. I think just real high level stuff. I mean, I might be known still for Team Evil, for Rampage, but that's more like the OG, like almost pre elite days. Played with Titan. After them, moved on to Headhunters, and then almost had a team here in just physically here in Arizona with would have been Ronin. Still kind of is. We still have the group chat. We're just waiting for a chance to play. That's. I mean, I won't say that's about it, but you know, just to give you guys a quick nutshell. In a nutshell, started the Dodgeball podcast initially with Brett and Steve, a friend of mine, Brett Baxter, also from Tucson, lives in Mesa now, also former teammate. We did that in 2015. And then 2017, I just had this weird idea to start up again. So I've been doing it since 2018. And then I guess you can say Ballast Day co-founder. And we'll just not talk about the military side, but there's that.
That's fair. Wait, hold on. Yeah. Co-founder? I thought you were like the original founder.
Yeah, I was going to put a pin in that too, but
okay.
And that's definitely a fault of my own if people think I'm the one man show, but hopefully we can, as you said, kind of reveal the curtain or pull back and tell that story a little bit more. And yeah, it's definitely not the intent to make it seem
do
like
you
I'm
tell us more. Yeah, definitely tell us.
Yeah,
more.
let's just jump right into that.
Okay. So, I mean, so this is a dangerous question because I can get long winded. So I will try to have some brevity, but also give you guys like the full how it happened, because it didn't just happen overnight accidentally, at least the steps. But so I live in Phoenix, as I said, but I was pretty much born and raised in Tucson, which unbeknownst to me, a lot of people rag on Tucson. I had no idea, like people did not like Tucson up until I moved up here. So
is that Tucson, like a interstate rivalry type thing, or is that like...
I think so. Like, Tucson's like Arizona's second largest city, and really there's only like two cities. It's Tucson and Phoenix. The rest is just desert. And I think it's like the rivalry between, you know, U of A Wildcats and ASU Sun Devils.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then Phoenix people just in generally are snotty. So there's also that. that's the Tucson and me saying, hey, dude, let's just stop hating on us for no reason. But it's a small city compared to Phoenix. But for me, you know, Tucson was a big city. I was actually from a small town in called Rio Rico, which is further south of Tucson. So for me, Phoenix is just like, this is wild still to this day. But I guess what that did was it kind of like gave me this like sense of community and putting stuff together and just organizing stuff. So in Tucson, somehow before the movie came out, a bunch of friends of mine decided we wanted to play dodgeball. And we played Medic at the time, which are you guys familiar with that version?
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit when I was on your show, but if you want to touch on it a little bit.
Yeah, so Medic basically, you know, you have two teams. I hit Miles. He's out, but he stays in place. Now let's say you guys decide that you want Brett to be the Medic. Miles can get back in if Brett tags him. And these games will go on forever. So if you get Brett out, you find out who the Medic is. Some people try to hide it. Some people try to, like, you know, surround themselves, like body shields. It's hilarious. It's a lot of fun to play. But games can go on forever. But for some reason, we just decided to play this game one night. And I just loved it. I had a kind of like a decent sports run as a youth. So the athletic requirement was minimal. Like, okay, I get to throw at people. Sweet. Okay, I can catch. Great. That's about it. And over time, you know, we'd get a bunch of people playing. We'd get kicked out of one venue, one after the other, because we didn't have things like sanctioning or insurance. And I just, Jesus, I'm dating myself. Went on Yahoo search, I think. I don't even think.
Oh my gosh.
I was just going to say, I Googled it, but if we're going back to that time, you know, just started.
Might as well be accurate.
Yeah, might as well. Yeah, I might as well just say Yahoo did. I used a search engine to find out and do research on how to start a company and how to get these things that were kicking us out of these places. That kind of gave me like this feel for like, okay, these crazy concepts of becoming a sanctioning entity, getting players insurance, renting a venue, getting the $1 million policies, all this stuff isn't really that hard if you just have the follow through and ask the questions and throw yourself out there. So it started to feed into this like problem solving through, I don't want to say through action, that sounds kind of like motivational poster boardy, but you know, you just keep going and
the learn first, by doing.
Exactly. Learn by doing. And so I just started to feel really confident doing that stuff. So a couple of years, passed by and we get to a point where we have about, I want to say like 4 seasons a year, capped out at 8 to 9 teams. We would have had more if the venue space would have allowed it, but we just had a solid thing going. And one thing I noticed was that dodgeballs, the 8.5, beautiful, best ball ever. You just couldn't get a good supplier. And so I had one overseas deployment. I saved a bunch of money out there. I came back and I said, let's figure out how we can solve this problem. I've got money and, you know, I'm not smart, so I just want to spend it on dodgeball. So I went through a third party, another organization that was offering custom balls. And I was like, okay, I don't really need 500 8.5 rubber balls at once. But if I get my own logo on them, it's going to make us look pretty legit. It's going to be pretty sweet. And it'll solve the problem for good. Because, there's no way we're going to burn through like 500 of them. So you go through this process, balls arrive, they're terrible. They're the worst quality ever. And it was like a good 3 months of just back and forth and proofing and all that stuff was just kind of a waste of time. Left a real bad taste in my mouth. But then I figured, okay, if I just like cut out the middleman, because I feel like I could have expedited this a little bit more and maybe save more money. So I started looking at, you know, Chinese manufacturers and same thing, you know, if I hadn't had the small wins of incorporation of procuring insurance, I probably wouldn't even thought to just reach out there and got to a point where I was basically looking at shipping containers, overseas shipping containers, because we were going to move a lot of balls down to the States and going through customs. I think I just said, F this, I'm kind of just going to push pause because this is a bit much for, you know, just some dodgeballs. I'll just, you know, do more thorough search on, I think Amazon might have started coming around then, or office depot.com. There's some decent suppliers. So, but they kind of always had that, like, it was that easy. Like, it was just a matter of just following up the last couple steps. And I would have had my own manufactured balls that were PG quality, which even to this day are kind of hard to locate a good quality one. And so, and I'm getting to the balls. I'm sorry. I'm trying to
fast. No, you're fine. I like the whole backstory. It's
the timeline.
Yeah, it shows like there was a couple avenues before you found what really like struck it, found like what you decided was going to work for the community.
Well, and I'm glad you said avenues because there was also a lot of failures, like a lot of stupid ideas as well. I'll get into that later. But you have to have those. You have to have those failures and those blunders and those silly mistakes, and you laugh about them now. But anyway, it kind of just fueled that, put on pause, as I said. And then I remember in 2014, I was kind of trying to help Mark Acomb because Elite was on the verge of taking off. Like, it was mostly at the West Coast. I was like, hey, man, you know, I somehow negotiated this like deal where if you have these 661 hard shell knee pads, if you use this promo code, they'll give us 20% off. All I had to do was ask. The sales rep was really cool. But instead of being, you know, Steve Joe Blow out of Tucson, can I have like Steve out of at elitedodgeball.com email, just so I can get some like some validity, you know? So he gave me that, and I kind of ran with it. Started looking around for some ideas of how to get discount stuff to the players, because you know, we all know we don't have much money. We're trying to travel. We're not at, even now to this day, you know, 14 years later, we're not at a point where if we're gonna have a national or even world tournament, the athletes still got to pay their way. So for me, it was just trying to figure out how I can make dodgeball more accessible and stop, paying excess funds or excess fees for products and whatnot. So I ended up, doing what I was doing earlier, just reached out to ASICS one time. I realized at that point I'd been using ASICS for a long time. And I'll never forget, I saved the email, but I emailed this one guy and said, hey, I'm looking at getting my wholesaler's license, my resales license, my tax privilege, whatever you want to call it, depends on the state, to sell bulk items. And this idiot said, hey, Steve, you know, thanks for reaching out. In order for us to look at your account, you'd have to order 5,000 knee pads, .. That's a lot of knee pads. I was like, you son of a bitch. Like,
fuck you, man. He's got a point, though.
Yeah, but the way he said it, and also I'm assuming I could cuss. I can't do that on my own podcast.
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Let it fly, man.
I'm going to let the words.
I was really hoping you were going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that still, even 6 years later, pissed me off. So I was like, all right, you mother. No, all right, fine. Like it goes back to like, well, you play dodgeball just like the movie. Can you dodge a wrench? You can dodge ball, that kind of crap.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I was like, I already had, you know, the retail license. I was ready to purchase or look into purchasing 5,000 pairs off you. But if you're gonna be like that, F you, I'll do it myself. So that in between, you know, looking at manufacturing balls to just realizing, you know, no matter what we do, no matter how many cool clips we have, because at this point, even Vince Marchbanks had been pretty famous. Like, he had already had a Wall Street Journal article review. Mark had this beautiful headshot where Ketchum blasted him, and that made the rounds.
Was
getting pretty prevalent. So I didn't think I would have that issue, but it just reminded me, like, man, at the end of the day, dodgeball is still not getting the love it deserves. Had a little career change with the military, went Air Force to Army, went enlisted to officer because I like to torture myself and I like challenges. But as I was going through the whole military training aspect, I went to this school in Georgia, and pretty much, like, I don't know if this might resonate with you guys, but I accomplished a major goal. And so because of that, it was like, well, now what do I do? Like, what's regular life now? I've always been pushing towards this one thing. I kind of had like this like existential crisis where I was just like watching YouTube videos late at night back at home. And I don't know what happened, but I just started looking at starting a company and starting resale again, and called up my buddy Joe Fernandez. I talk shit about him all the time on Facebook, but we're actually friends. But I will never say that on Facebook. I will always say he's the worst person ever. It's like, hey man, you know, we've been talking dodgeball a lot, we both love the game a lot, like, why don't we just start our own company? Because, you know, we can keep waiting for Nike or Under Armour to pay attention to us, or we can make them pay attention to us at some point. And again, started just digging through the archives, you know, looking at how far did I go with the balls, how far did I go with the reseller's license, how far did I go with XYZ. And I realized even back then I made a lot of progress, but nowadays, like, you can just start whatever you want as long as you have enough follow-up. I mean, Google exists now, so you can just Google literally anything and people walk you through all these things. So I started reaching out to some manufacturers in China again. I tried to do some research to see who made the ASICS knee pads that I used. Had a few samples sent out that I tried. They were just garbage. Some were pretty good. One, I finally found a model I really liked. It was pretty much the exact same thing as the ASICS sliders. Some people with a really keen eye can even identify, like, oh, these look like the sliders. I'm like, yeah, they kind of are. but they don't have there's like this thing in the back where it's just like a hole.
I hated that.
Yeah. And I was like, can you make this, but less bulky, and take that out? Just make it a full sleeve. The back of my knee skin will thank you. I did. I got a pair that I really liked, and I wore those things since October 2018. I still wear them to this day. I'm still using the same version. Wow. I've had. And because when me and Joe started doing this, we're also building the website. We're also, you know, pie in the sky dreams. I have our first like Google Sheets of all the things and milestones that we had. Like, oh man, it'd be really cool if we ever one day, you know, had Alan Stott, you know, sport or stuff. It'd be really cool if I ever one day got to Sin City. And it's funny because even now I could look at it and be like, we did all those things so fast. but as this was going on, you know, I'm wearing the knee pads and I've got my own brand, and I'm really like kind of sheepish, not sheepish, but just like, oh, I really don't know if I want to sell these yet. I don't want to take people's money. Like, what if they suck? Or what if they like, do you guys know Kale Harrell by any chance?
Yeah, I know.
I do not.
He has this thing where he just says, Steve hates taking people's money. And I do. I am a terrible salesman. I would do everything for free if I could.
I can relate very much.
It's hard, man. Like you're proud of what you do and you know you have a value to it, but at the same time you're just like, but have another pair. Just get out of here. Just go run away. But yeah, so I wore these things for, you know, several months. And I remember one time, I think it was like in April 2018. October 2017 is when I had the first pair. 2018 of April. Me and Joe were talking one night and he's just like, hey man, when are we going to do this? We're ready. We've been ready for months. I'm the kind of person, for as much as I talk about like just doing stuff, I do sit on the fence a lot. And I remember being in the shower one morning and just saying, I'm just going to send it. Fuck it. Let's do it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I figured, you know, people, I don't know. I really hope I don't sound douchey, but I hope that people at that point knew me enough to know that Steve's not trying to sell shit to make money. He's not trying to pull the world over people's eyes. Like people would just, if I fucked up, they would forgive me for at least trying. And I posted that thing on Dodgeball Thread, Dodgeball Family. I was like, hey, my buddy Joe and I started this company. Right now we're selling these knee pads. Check them out. And I was like so afraid to look at my phone because I thought I was just going to get torn up, because the dodgeball community can be awesome. They can be hilarious, but it could be awful. It could be a freaking dumpster fire. And I was so afraid of being caught in that.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, and like I've done a lot of stuff that that would warrant being nervous or would warrant being like super like anxious, but this feeling of just pushing post and just waiting just to see what would happen, man, it was a dark moment. I remember walking into some random place in the office just waiting, and I think the coolest thing was Vince put this gif of a dude like nodding and like cool, and I was like, hell yeah, Vince endorses us. He doesn't endorse us, but he's like, yeah, Vince is like not saying this is dumb. That's great. That's fantastic. And I mean,
great start.
Like, yeah, it's a great start. And people were pretty receptive. There's some people that are skeptical, but I mean, for a release, at least a soft one, it was fantastic. And I mean, I want to say like the rest is history. I've talked an awful lot, but that's essentially kind of what started. It really just came from a continuous desire to fulfill a need. I love dodgeball. It's getting taken away by the freaking campus police again. I don't want this to happen anymore. I'm going to make sure that dodgeball can happen. I run out of dodgeballs. I want to make sure that this doesn't happen anymore. So yeah, I mean, it all came out of just passion for the sport. I mean, I know that sounds cheesy, but yeah, that's kind of roundabout.
We can't call you cheesy because we kind of followed that same path where, you know, we want to see the sport succeed and want to see the sport improve and grow. So we can't make fun of you for that, because we're right behind you there.
Exactly.
It's awesome seeing that. Yeah.
It's really cool that, you know, you kind of, and when Felix was on, he kind of said the same thing to us was, you know, you didn't ask anybody's permission. You didn't say, hey, does anybody think it'd be cool if we could just do this? You just decided that it was needed and you did it. And I really appreciate that as your story, where, you know, maybe you did sit on the fence, but it's just something you wanted to take care of. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. I'm like jumping on that. Cause like, especially cause you say you're like, you're very like shy, like kind of health reserved, like you're an introverted guy. And speaking as an introvert myself, that like, even though you kind of have that personality trait, you're still a go-getter and you don't let the introvertedness of yourself hold you back. You may like kind of be reserved at times, but when it really matters, you kind of go and just go for it. And that's kind of the important part of what you've been doing so far. And I appreciate that as an introvert myself.
Thanks, man. And get a couple beers in me and the introvert is gone. I will.
I relate to that way too well. If anyone knows from the Nationals at 2019, they know as well. It was a bad time.
Yeah. So Steve, where did the idea spawn for the name?
Thank you for asking that, because I did want to bring some of the other players into the mix. Joe did absolutely nothing. I lied. He is completely worthless. Joe came up with the name. So Ballaste is, I think the actual, I don't even remember anymore, but we're looking at like dodgeball, like picture, you know, stuff being thrown at you. Okay, that's not going to work. We got to the point where we're just like ballistics, but I mean, every gun company out there, any pseudo paramilitary is going to have ballistics somewhere. And I think Joe just like did freaking thesaurus search and said, what about Ballista? And like he showed me the saying. I was like, you made that up. And then, but it's multiple ballistics. Like it's just multiple siege weapons. I was like, yeah, that kind of works. It's just spelled goofy enough that it might be its own thing. Check the, you know, the GoDaddy domains. It was available. Did a quick Google search. Didn't see anything else pop up. And I liked that. So he'll pronounce it Ballista to this day because, again, he's wrong. Dodgeball, ball to say, like it's just perfect. And I don't mind that, you know, some people when they first hear about it, they're like, so how do you say it? Is it ball to stay? Ballista is like just ball to stay. But it's so like it's an actual word, but it's so, at least to me, not fringe, but just so unique that it just mm-hmm. sticks out. I feel
it just looked like a typo.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm looking at it now, and it just that's what it looks like.
The E is it's a very strange thing, but it gets your eye, I feel. And
I feel like every time I try to write it down, I'm having a dyslexic moment, and I have to like double check something.
It's just too many vowels. That's all it is. Just way too many vowels.
That's why it's Ballista Day.
That's cool, though. I didn't know it actually had like meaning and like an origin like that. That's really cool.
Yeah, I think maybe after the end of this episode, you realize most everything I do has some kind of long-winded meaning towards it and has probably had way too much thought put into it. But I wish I could remember some of the initial like names, but they were so crappy. As soon as we found one we liked, we just forgot about them, just deleted from memory.
That's how ours was when we came up with our name.
I was
going to
say, I feel like that's how we were. We had a thread going of all these potential names, and then
they were all trash.
Like nothing was just catching. And then one day it was like probably 7 a.m. I was driving to work and I just sent Miles a message and I was like, dude, ball out.
Nice.
And he goes, yeah, that's it. Like it was just decided right then and there. It was like, this is the name. And we just ran with it.
I think the name that was like second was like Grips or something like that. And I'm just like, I kind of like it, but like we could definitely pick something better than Grips.
I'm glad you guys picked Ball Out because Grips is no. Just after being spoiled with Ball Out, like that is so perfect. And like it's when I first found out about it, I was like, I spent so much time on Ballista and Ballistics. Ball Out is just so damn easy. Like,
oh man. It's funny because my mom asked me what ball out meant, and I actually never had an answer. I was like, it's just like a phrase you say to kind of like go wild, but that was like kind of the best answer I came up with. Like, I don't know, and it's kind of hard to explain when someone asks what it means.
Yeah, it was just something that was said in a huddle. It was just like, all right, boys, let's go ball out, and then we broke and then went and played dodgeball. So I was like, this is so fitting.
That is. I mentioned Brett Baxter earlier. He had tried out for the Team USA of 2015, 2016. And, you know, we asked how he did. And he's like, guys, I balled out of control. But so I've heard that. I've heard people say I've balled out before. So it just makes perfect sense for me. I was like, oh, that's beautiful. That works.
Well, thanks. We've enjoyed it so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. But speaking, actually, touching on names, how far along were you with, you know, getting suppliers and stuff before you actually had a name for the company?
I want to say we're probably about 3 months in before we realized we should probably get a name for this. Like, it's like try not to, because you know it's easy to think of a name, get a website, build up stuff, make cards, do all the stuff. Mm-hmm. And when you actually need the product, you're like, oh, I don't know what we actually do. speaking from experience. But, yeah, we had a pretty solid, like, this was going to happen one way or the other. So we need to come up with the name and just run with it. And that's where, you know, that first one that just had that weird outlier worked, because at that point it was just like, we're just going to send it. Let's run.
Oh, I feel like a lot of people that, you know, try to do like a startup or are trying to form a company spend so much time on the name that it kind of, they get lost of what's actually happening and that they need to just act. And yeah. Eventually, and this is how I felt, at least, I don't know if you guys felt the same way, but we just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And, you know, we talked about names and we're like, you know, the right name will come, the right name will come. And, you know, once it did, we were already ready to go. So as soon as that name hit, we weren't like pressuring ourselves or anything to find the name. But when that hit, it was like, all right, the green light, like we flipped just switch or yeah, switch just flipped. Like now let's go, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like the engine's built and you can just, hey, if the name sucks, we'll just change it. But the thing that's actually going to carry this product or this brand is built. So that's kind of how we were. Like we already, everything was already created or built or on its way. And so, you know, if Ball State tanked or people gave us enough of a hard time, then, you know, we might consider a change. And we had to go through a couple logo iterations. But it's, I like what you said about just at some point you just have to go for it and then adjust later. And if I may, one of the coolest things that Officer Candidate School taught me was you can have the best laid out plan. You can be meticulous. You can try to think of all the things that are going to happen. But the second you go out that wire, the second you take fire, or the second you just step off, shit's going to go wrong. And you have to have the flexibility and the trust that you're going to adjust fire as needed. One of the last steps of the troop leading procedures to supervise and refine. Okay, we made this plan. Now it's time to execute and supervise and refine along the way. And I feel like that has helped me get far past the points back in the day where I'd be like, okay, well, you know, if I wanted to pull the trigger, I could, but I'm not gonna. Like that really helps. For anybody that's listening, and if you're on the fence about doing something, most of the time, you guys can call me out if I'm wrong, but if you have enough of a plan, just go for it, because you'll figure out, just trust that you're gonna figure it out along the way.
Exactly.
Yeah, 100% agree. And I think actually Jocko has a quote that's very similar to that. And I'm not going to be able to come up with it for the life of me, but it's just like you said, you know, when shit hits the fan, it doesn't matter what you guys talked about before. It's time to step back, reassess, and then go. Yeah. And I think if you have enough, one, faith in yourself to know that you can see when something's failing, to step back, look and see what's at least going a little bit well, and then chase after it, that people are going to see that. And I mean, if you launch, say, a company for dodgeballs, like you did, and then USA Dodgeball decides that, you know, they're going to have an official ball and they're the only ones that can source it, if, you know, the league gets to a size like that, which I hope one day it does, but that they are the only supplier of the USA dodgeballs. Well, then if that you would have continued, you're kind of screwed. So then what's your next move? Do you look at, you know, shoes, or do you look at sleeves, or and do exactly what you did? And I think you, even though you're a little sitting on the fence a little bit, but have enough faith and confidence in yourself to know that you could make that decision if needed.
Yep. Can just fire if needed. And man, he had to bring up my boy Jocko Willink, that guy.
Well, I just listened to, he was on Joe Rogan like, I don't know, 3 days ago, and I just watched it yesterday. Yeah, so he's fresh in my memory right now.
Does he make you feel like you're just the biggest piece of shit that ever walked the earth, because he's just so awesome and manly?
Oh yeah,
in he a was good way, like
in like a really good way. He was talking about how, you know, he gets up every morning at 4 a.m. and people always reach out to him and like, hey, like, why don't you just sleep more? And he goes, like, all these health reasons and everything. And he goes, don't you think I would love to be able to sleep more? He goes, no, but I am wired. I have this little voice in the back of my head that says, hey, you better get up, you little bitch. Somebody's out working you right now. Like, the enemy's getting closer. He's like, people talk about being hungry. He goes, I am always starving. And I just like felt to myself like, oh, why don't I have that drive? Like, why was I not born with that?
Yeah, that man is, like I said, he makes you feel like a piece of crap, but in a good way. But also,
yeah,
he's freaking cut from a different cloth for sure. I mean,
oh yeah.
Yeah, that I had a one of my alarms is him yelling, "Get up and get up now." Like, that is the most terrifying thing in the world to hear when you're just like, "Oh my God, where the fuck am I?" And then I, you know, sometimes when I know I have to wake up in the morning, I'll put that on full blast and I will have Jocko yelling at me to get me out of bed.
That's well, amazing. I love his whole thing behind like his supplements. And he goes, his flavor, he doesn't care. He's like, "I don't care if it tastes like shit as long as it works." And it's almost like it's you're supposed to hate it.
Yeah.
Because it's good for you and it's going to work. And it's like training your body to embrace the suck before the like greater good, which is a really deep mind fuck on Jocko's part.
See, I need him now because I'm a picky eater. So I need him just to scream at me whenever I eat vegetables because I'm beyond awful at that.
YouTube any of his speeches and you will leave just needing to be a better person.
I would YouTube. Good. That is so stupid awesome. And so like I get chills when I think about it.
Which one was it?
It's called Good. And he's just basically saying, you know, he had this one officer or somebody that he worked with. Anytime something bad would happen, he would just say good.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good or bad. And it's the philosophy behind it is fantastic. I don't want to say I've adopted it because I'm definitely a wannabe and I will always be. I'll barely be able to hold a candle to that man. But the idea goes back to when shit hits the fan, when things don't go as planned, just, hey, you're alive, you're breathing. Instead of fussing about it, which I still do. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm definitely, like I said, not 100% like Jocko, but kind of on the outskirts of his camp. I can see the fire at least. I think that, especially my military aspect, the day to day, like, okay, this guy's coming to me with problems. Good. We'll figure it out. I trust myself. I trust my soldiers that we're going to work through this and we're not getting shot at. So that's a plus. Are we going to die? No. Okay, cool. Then there is nothing wrong happening right now. And it's just, it's like almost like a, what do you call it? Not a meditation, but, like a power phrase or a mantra. Mantra.
Yeah. Okay.
Just say good.
And then, yeah.
Come on.
I love it. It's the trying to figure things out and not always being able to take the easiest road is, you know, what he's trying to say. So when it sucks, good. It gives you an opportunity to learn something new so that, you know, next time you're prepared for that. And if it sucks again, good. You get to learn something else. Yep. It's just amazing.
You're not dead. So whatever previous catastrophe happened didn't kill you. You figured it out. You're still here. You overcame it. So bring on the next one.
Yeah, exactly. But let's come back around to dodgeball.
Me and Brett are probably really dangerous about doing just.
Oh, yeah. I want to bring up. More about the company, and we did this with Justin, but I want to pick your brain on where you see Ball Estate going in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. If we'll just say if growth stays the same with Dodgeball.
Sure. So like high level or just kind of
all around, I don't know, whatever you got turning in there that like your pie in the sky dreams or what, you're looking at and we're hoping for all of it.
So up until COVID, we were showing the kind of growth that I would imagine investors would love to see. It was solid and I don't feel like that's completely gone. It's just on pause. And so what I'm doing in the interim has been trying to hone in on these blasted V2s. You want to talk about COVID impacting everything? Well, obviously, you know, our factory was pretty badly hindered by it. So they had to take a pause. And I don't know if you guys are interested in the eaches about it, but basically the VTs are just now on their way after all this. Because even then I had to push pause. I'm like, okay, I know that we have the prototype that we want. Everything looks good, but we're not playing dodgeball. So let me just save some capital and put it somewhere else. But they're finally on their way. And I think what we talked about in the group chat might resonate too. What we've been doing is just basically building and just waiting until, you know, the dodgeball doors are open again and we start playing. So I guess if you want to consider this initial year, it's just going to be about not recovery, but just kind of like stocking up and being ready, preparing, preparation. We had some partnerships that are on hold or about to go through. I don't know if I should talk about them, but they would definitely increase our footprint. It take us to an international level, which is awesome. I'm worried about saying it mostly just because I want to make sure it's actually going to happen. I just had an email about it. And I'm not trying to be like that. Oh, I can't tell my secrets.
No, I get it. You don't want to, you know, jinx anything or put out any kind of bad juju. It's not behind you with that.
I don't want to speak for them. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's worse.
They still got to do their deliberations and talks. But in other words, but you would see partnerships across the globe. In terms of like actual products, I really want to focus on being good at one thing. So like the knee pads, like the V1s are great. If you play like me, like they're, unfortunately they're modeled like me because I was the one that tested them for so long and I don't slide. And that was something that I realized time and again, when I'd see people setting these things on fire with how much they slid. So if the V2s go well and they hold up, and they provide these sliders with an opportunity to play their game, protect their knees. Then we'll venture off into compression. I do have some prototypes that played with certain materials. We had talked about doing a type of women's legging where you have the leggings with the Lululemon, like super like strong, robust feel, but you'd be able to insert pads on your hips or on your tailbone. And it's optional. So some people might want a tailbone pad. Maybe they want a left hip because they favor their left hip. So being able to provide something like that where it's, you're not wearing like a football girdle. In other words, like you're just kind of customizing based on how you play. So you would see more pads, more protection.
That's funny that you say that though, Steve, because that sounds like almost exactly what I was wearing in football is, you know, instead of wearing like the belt, you know, they had to weave the hip pads and the tailbone pad through. I bought like a pair of compression shorts that had like sewn in pockets so I could put my hip pads and tail pads in, and eventually even like my thigh pads. So that's exactly what I was thinking of when you said that.
I personally would have invested in them, because especially when I first started playing dodgeball, I didn't know how to like dodge and land properly. So I not to like the Giovinco level, but like pretty much flop and bruise everything. So I would have definitely invested in those if you had made them back then.
Well, I was still, what was I doing back then? Probably figuring out how balls work. So my bad.
No, it's all good.
No, how I'm glad you guys, because the football pads are exactly what it would look kind of like. It's basically the same concept where, you know, you have the shell, but then you put the insert where you want them.
Mm-hmm.
And the V3s would be kind of on the plate next. And that's trying to find like this happy medium between sliders, the V1s, and just an all-encompassing knee pad, because I don't want you guys as in players to have to choose, well, I slide, so I need the sliders, but I wish I had the protection of the V1s. And the easy answer would be like, well, why don't you just do it all at once? But it takes time. It takes feedback. I had no idea what a V2 looked like until people started telling me, I like this, but could you do that? And so thinking 2 to 3 years from now, more just building on what's been successful. Maybe some apparel items. Try not to get too crazy. I mean, a hoodie's a hoodie for me. Maybe some like active wear. But that's, I don't want to say that's essentially it, because we are testing 8.5 balls. I asked Mark to break one. I asked Hunter Ford. I think if anybody can break them, the NCDA guys can. So if we can support those, then we found something solid. And just whatever ideas people bring up. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that has come up that's a fantastic idea. It's just we don't have the capacity right now. Or it's kind of hard to say, because if we were going the way we were this year, we'd probably be looking at those shell pads already. There's a material called Poron that, I swear to God, it looks like it's bulletproof, but it's so thin. And if I could get like my hands on that and make a knee pad where I could basically kick you as hard as I wanted to in the knee, and that worked, then oh man, game on.
Oh man,
about that. So And then I would like to see on the player aspects, elevating the players more. So we kind of have like a little bit of an ambassador program. Brenda is kind of going to call her out. She's kind of like our model sponsored athlete, where you go to Nike, you go to Under Armour, boom, athlete. You go to Ball State, boom, athlete. So we kind of played around with the hashtag legitimacy program, where we would campaign, where we'd take really awesome photos, because Kenny is a freaking god with photos, and we portray people we know in a professional Sports Illustrated look. And so see more of that, more of the money that we make going towards elevating the player. And with a sponsored athlete program, yeah, pretty much paying your guys' way through games, through events, and getting you guys to get the treatment and the feel that Nike and Reebok and all these other companies just aren't doing. The hope would be to get their attention, be like, hey, check out how badass we are. Like, take this shit seriously, because obviously we do. You guys are missing out on a huge opportunity to do so.
Right. And, that's awesome.
Like, 3 mark or so, but that's essentially
it. I love any disruptors. Like, if, you know, you get that email from ASIC, like, I hope it'd be the same guy. It's like, hey, so remember when we talked about like those knee pads and stuff? Are you guys still interested? Because you see, you're actually like buying that stuff now.
I want Glenn to ask me personally. I will give Glenn, not Spacer.
I was wondering about that.
ASIC Glenn.
The one time Glenn Spacer pissed off somebody. I'm trying to pull up the email right now, but I saved it. And
that guy Glenn from ASICS, he sucks.
He pissed this one random nerd off so bad. This guy formed a company just to say.
The ultimate backstory.
Yeah, I hold grudges really well. good ones and bad ones. So just saying.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll make sure we stay on your good side then.
Yeah, that wasn't a threat. I'm just saying.
Actually, Steve, talking about ideas and stuff. Miles, do you want to kind of bring up what we talked about in our podcast? That didn't get released yet. It'll get released after this one. But
yeah. The idea was that someday, either far in the future or hopefully soon, preferably sooner, that Ball Out and Ball Estate team up and form their own tournament. And that's the idea that we came up with on one of our podcasts recently.
Yeah, we thought about doing, because there's, you know, only a couple of tournaments a year that are actual, you know, USA dodgeball tournaments, doing something that, you know, is more of a, I don't want to say more of a relaxed type atmosphere, but it's something that you can come play dodgeball, have fun, hang out with people. Obviously everybody wants to play at a high level, but it's more of an event, like a weekend event. We talked about, you know, getting workouts in, and we talked about, you know, obviously going out and drinking and stuff, and then waking up like Sunday morning doing yoga, but making it more of like a weekend event where we play dodgeball.
Oh man, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. That was literally our thought process when the idea came up. We just kept going with it. It was great.
Yeah. We thought, you know, Nebraska would be a good meeting ground. But we're open for suggestions, because there's nothing going on in Nebraska. But yeah, just something that, you know, we can call our own and kind of make it into whatever we want.
So I have like the biggest shit eating grin on my face. Just
oh no, I'm pretty sure we all do. So you're not alone.
Just getting giddy. Any idea when this is going to air?
This will be next week. Not next week. Next week, but the following.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what that date will be.
So going back to the conversation of doing stuff out of need because you want to see it done. That is definitely something that, you know, we've been thinking about. And I don't know if you guys know Nate Evans. Nate, if you're listening, don't kill me. I can't help myself. I'm not a real player. He had been wanting to do a Ball State branded tournament for a long time, and it would be, oh man, I'm probably gonna get in trouble. Whatever. We're gonna be a celebration of the player where it's, and maybe this is where we can hash out and nerd out more on the eaches, but it basically would be like, okay, you're awesome. Your team is great. Invite only. Here's a freaking like beautiful invitation. You get in the mail, you come play dodgeball, you play against the best. But you're treated like royalty. You know, you're given, you know, swag, you're given catered meals if you can afford it, obviously, of course.
Oh man.
But and you know, I'm just gonna pretend there's no money. So you have catered meals, you have a clinic where people are showing you how to recover. If we're sponsored, our products are everywhere. Help yourself. Here's a freaking towel, here's some recovery powder, here's some just whatever it takes, you know, here's some just stuff.
Sounds like the dodgeball equivalent to like a college bowl game, like a football bowl game, and I love it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a dream I never came up with, and I'm so glad I never thought of it because it sounds even better because I never could come up with that.
This could be a dangerous three-way conversation then.
Yeah, it sounds like we're sending out golden tickets, and we are Willy Wonka.
Yeah, except they're jet black and glossy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, maybe we'll play colored, but no. But I think something like that is, it's not to be exclusive. It's not to exclude people that weren't invited. It's to just pay homage to the sport. You know, these people, these teams, these captains, these players are killing themselves in a good way. They're putting in the work to be at the highest that they'll ever be in dodgeball. And yeah, it's cool. You win nationals. It's cool if you make Team USA.
Right. But
there's something that could also be done just like that bowl game. And I'm really gonna damn it. So 2006, when I played for the National Dodgeball League Professional League, they gave us that treatment. So sorry, losing my voice.
Oh, you're fine.
The National Dodgeball League had a professional league, and we can talk about like how they got to this. It doesn't really matter. They had a lot of money, and they put a ton of money into their Sunday pro day, which they basically outfitted every single player with a uniform. It looked terrible, but it was thought they counts. And you had ESPN quality cameras all around the venue, and then you walked in, given your uniform, your place with your team, you're taking team photos, you're taking individual photos. Like, we felt like celebrities. It was pretty badass. Really great experience. I remember that more than the actual dodgeball, because it was so like yeah, we made it. I seen it 2006. Oh yeah, we made it, dude. Dodgeball's on the map. We got this.
we're here now.
Cool. Yeah, we're here now. So your idea of something like that, but it's like a retreat slash clinic slash all the above celebration. Yeah, dude, I'm in. Like, even if I'm just at the booth, man, I want to be a part of that. That's awesome.
That all right, cool. Yeah, we're definitely gonna have to start writing this stuff down, because, I mean, we literally came up with it live. I shouldn't say live, because these are all recorded and then posted, but we came up with it while we were recording. And just kept building on it, and we need to make it happen now.
Yeah, 2021 currently.
If there is one takeaway from this interview, it's make it happen. You have an idea, make it happen. Just figure it out. You need to. And you guys reminded me of, I forgot what episode it was, but you guys were talking about, I think, the future for you guys, like pie in the sky dreams, and it'd be like this dodgeballtorium, like this center where it's just I think you guys, it was like a gym. But it was like clinics were there. It was like a club. But it was all
dodgeball heaven, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, I was like gripping the wheel so hard. I was like, thank God I was like home. But I was like, yes, like.
Yeah, I really think that's something that I would love to make happen. And I think that if we could find the space, I don't know what it's going to take, but I'm ready to dive in.
Yeah, one day, man, it'll happen.
I think there's always like a silver lining or glass half full, like with COVID being what it is. I mean, there might be opportunity to, I hate to say it, but just take advantage of the situation,
whatever
long-term effects are. And this could be it. This could be the opportunity where, you know, people maybe don't want to watch baseball with cardboard cutouts of people watching, you know, that's obviously very soon, but have no idea. I mean, who would have thought, you know, 2 years ago, the three of us would be having this conversation on a Dodgeball podcast. Like, you never know. So
that's true. I mean, even thinking back 1 year ago from even right now, this wasn't even on the map. Like, Ball Out was not even a thing yet. And nope. You'd have to fast forward, you know, 4 more months, and then it was, hey, I'll reach out to Miles. So
yeah, and I still thought he was crazy.
But I was gonna say, I don't think that's changed.
Not at all.
But yeah, hopefully, you know, if the right space pops up, you know, see what it takes. And yeah, I would love to have something that has dodgeball courts, that has a weight room, that has, you know, a studio in it, that has, hell, I don't know, a tropical smoothie in it. I would love to even put like hotel rooms in it, so that, you know, people can fly in and stay for the weekend and get a whole weekend's worth of dodgeball and training and drills and whatever. That just sounds so needed in my brain that it's got to be coming true soon.
It is needed. It sounds doable when you break down, okay, maybe you're not walking into Global Gym the first time, but you got to start somewhere. I mean, the first meet was 8 teams in you know, an LA Rec Center, and look what that expanded to, because the need was there. The NDL was doing a terrible job. They were on the way out. Lead stepped up. People came. And we're here because of that. So you just got to give it a shot, you know, shoot your shot, as they say.
Exactly. Yeah. All it takes is an idea and then the willpower to finish the idea.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Aren't there like islands you can rent now that are like super affordable, or you can like rent a mansion?
I think it depends on your definition of affordable, depending on how much you make, because I definitely cannot afford it.
Let's say it's $3,000 the weekend, and $50 a head, and you just, instead of the grand hall, that's the dodgeball court.
Yeah, we could do that. Right.
There you go. Airbnb. That's what I'm saying. The stuff that we can do now, we as in just Americans or people, it's wild. We're going to look back at this conversation listening.
Great. See how well it ages.
Or that was a stupid idea. There's not at all. Or we'd just be listening to it at the event. Like, yeah, no, this is July 23rd, 2020. We talked about it. Now it's happening.
I love it. I love, you know, it makes me so excited for the sport. And, you know, Miles, I don't know if you felt this way, but after our conversation with Jake, you know, I felt a little bit discouraged, because, you know, we kind of talked about how COVID might disband some college teams, which is essentially our feeder system into USA Dodgeball. And, you know, I thought, man, if, you know, a vaccine doesn't come soon, what are we going to do if, you know, we lose more teams? But, you know, talking about things like this, it gets me way more excited, because if we could pull that off, I don't think that it would go unnoticed. Like, if people drove by and saw National Dodgeball Institute, I'm like, what? Like, yeah. I think I have to go check that out.
Exactly. That would make the news at some level, at a minimum.
Yeah, right?
At a minimum.
I would think so.
It has to. I was like, if it does, that'd be low key disappointed. Actually, it'd be not low key, it'd be very high key. That'd be very disappointed.
I was gonna say, like, something would have to be going on in the world to make that not be seen. But then also, given that it's 2020, this is round 7 of Jumanji. Okay, maybe now's not the time. It might actually get missed because of all like nonsense.
Right. Yeah. We're gonna pump the brakes until 2021 and see what happens.
Yeah, no, it's a solid idea.
Yeah, we'll definitely revisit that, either in our group chat or, you know, at tournaments hopefully coming up. Yep. But Steve, it was really cool to be able to hear your story, being able to, you know, finally, after, I don't know, talking to you for months and months about, you know, where we're going, what we're doing, and working together with the My Athlete Box and getting on your podcast. It was cool to actually hear what you went through and your story. Do you have anything that you want to ask us?
Kind of formulating this question in the back of my mind. I don't know if this is a question so much as it's a statement, but it's refreshing to see you guys doing what you're doing. By no means was I thinking I could solve the main issue of how do we put dodgeball on the map of something serious. It's going to take a lot of effort from very passionate and very hungry driven people. And when I talked to you, Brett, for the 3 hours or however long, and I'm not even trying to knock you at all, Miles. Like, I got to talk to you before. I kind of had an idea of who you were and yeah. your character and so forth. So for me, talking to you, Brett, was a chance to do that. And it's going to sound funny because, again, dating myself, it was very refreshing to hear a younger person have the drive and passion for the sport and the concern and the willingness to do what needs to be done to keep it going. I guess my question is, what happens if dodgeball just ceases to exist? What does that do for you guys? It's one thing to give it your all, give it your best shot, and then walk away because you're retired, because of family, job, work, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But how would you feel if dodgeball just ended?
Bruh, why would you go there?
I want to end on a brief note, so.
No, that's fair. I mean, I guess I'll go first. I mean, I've had ideas. I haven't told Brett this, but it was always more of like a backup idea in case like that not the inevitable, but like that that really bad scenario that you just brought up, Steve, where if dodgeball doesn't make it or if it doesn't go in the speed that we all would love it to go. My idea was that instead of disbanding ball out because dodgeball isn't our niche anymore, we could branch out to the other unconventional sports that have a chance, kind of like Quidditch or Spikeball that's popping up really a lot now, or cornhole, like all those unconventional sports. I don't know, like just somehow cornhole, I don't even know why that popped in my head. I never once thought cornhole would ever like be a ball up potential, but like kind of that idea of unconventional sports where like we can kind of branch out to those sports and pretty much apply the same energy that we've done with ball out into those sports. I mean, it was just an idea. This is more of like a backup plan, but that's kind of like more like a scenario I don't ever want to happen, but in yeah. case ball out can't thrive off of dodgeball alone, that's always an option.
If we just woke up one day and everybody forgot that dodgeball is a thing, I think there's enough people in the space that they won't let it die like dead. But if we woke up and everybody forgot what dodgeball was and it just wasn't a sport anymore, man, you know, I've always just wanted to run my own life, really. I would do something probably in the lines of fitness. I would probably, man, and this is actually something I have planned coming up is, Miles, I don't even know if I told you this yet, but coming later, well, I guess we'll see depending on COVID, but coming up later this year, planned on making a tour of speeches at schools, you know, and talking to kids about the importance of health and fitness and making sure that, you know, they're eating right and growing up playing sports and how sports are so crucial to development and that they're a great place to learn, make friends and all that good stuff. And I think that that's something that I could see myself doing on a larger scale. So maybe we'll see how that goes. And I could see myself doing that. And I mean, I was Brandon was Brandon a great hype man in college. So I would love to do, you know, some kind of motivational speaking one day and getting people excited about fitness and changing their lives and kind of like how this podcast is going to take action.
Yeah,
I think I could see myself doing something like that.
Yeah, I know for me personally, like if I went the route where dodgeball wasn't a thing ever or anymore, I probably would be back, going back to my original goal, whereas initially when I first started, or at least graduated college, my initial goal was to become a strength conditioning coach for either a college team or professional team. So I know I would probably be, I don't know if I would go back to school for it, but I'd probably have to, unfortunately. But it would probably be going down that route of just trying to find a team to kind of focus on the weight room, focus on the athletic conditioning portion of it, and just seeing where I end up from there. Because that was always a dream of mine, but I know with ball out, I have a, I don't want to say better chance of it happening, but I had more control of my destiny that way versus waiting for a chance for an open position to pop up or waiting for the right connection to connect and all that other hard work nonsense that I don't want to deal with. Ball out would be able to provide more of a straight routine or a route to it because I'm in control of that.
Yeah. What would you do, Steve?
I'd be very sad. So the reason why I asked that question, it kind of goes to tradition, right? So I'm very fortunate being in the military that I don't have to worry about self-validation. I belong to a very long lineage of culture, I guess, may not be the best right now, but tradition and values and history, mm-hmm. right? That sense of me is fulfilled. Dodgeball, though, is still so new. And it's still figuring out its way. It would be just a tragedy in my eyes if it just stopped, mm-hmm. because people have put in so much work, past, present, and hopefully future, to get this thing going. That it, and so many good memories, and so many good friendships, and so many families even were started because of dodgeball. It feels like at this point it can't stop. You know, like, mm-hmm. but it's one of those things. I don't want to say it keeps me up at night. But it's refreshing to know anytime, as much as I bash on the younger players, it's refreshing to know that there are going to be people that replace me. But I wish there would be like 20 to replace me when I leave. That's definitely another thing. Especially when you guys are talking about the concern with the NCAA potentially having a problem as a feeder system. But as far as we've come, like it would be very sad if it fell apart. And so, without sounding too cheesy, like, again, you guys are very refreshing. This is very, very badly needed, and it has to continue. And people just need to realize, like, dodgeball is just more now than a fad. We've outlasted the movie wave time and again. It's got to continue. And I'm kind of glad that you guys have that same sense of dread when I asked that question. Again, not trying to leave this on a dark note, but I feel more sane now having posed that. So.
Like, holy, I didn't even know I could hit that emotion. Like, it hit in like places that I've never felt before, and I was like, "Bruh, I don't even want to go down that route because dodgeball changed my life, and I don't want it to go back to where it was."
Yeah, I could take you guys to dark places, but no, that was. I'm hoping it's been a positive life. Just like, yeah, if you have that idea, if you want to start that league, if you want to put together that team, if you want to give it a shot, if you want to practice, just do it. It's badly needed, and dodgeball is the perfect platform to get something like that done. So that would be my question to you guys, and I got my answer.
Yeah, I think, like you said, the sport we love is new enough to where it's still very acceptable to ask for forgiveness rather than permission. Yep. So if somebody decided that, you know, they wanted to do... Shit, I don't know. Actually, I don't know if I should talk about this, so I'm going to make a note right here. But Jenny Hodge, that's her last name, right?
Yes.
She reached out to me about wanting to start a women's dodgeball podcast. And
nice.
She we're going to get on a call tomorrow because she wanted to know how we started up. And, you know, I think it takes, I'm sorry, I'm trying to look through this message here. So she wants to do a Women of Dodgeball podcast, toying with ideas, you know, from the women's games, controversial topics, and women's fitness and training, which, I mean, all things that we all talk about, but she wants to really dive into it. And I'm more in the philosophy of, What's the quote? In a high tide, all boats rise. Instead of like, oh well, then they're not going to listen to us. Like that. Anything that draws more eyes to the sport, great in my books. And I'm super excited to, you know, hop on this call with her and help her get started, and hopefully she'll put in the work and it'll just especially bring more girls to the sport because it's needed.
Especially in the North, 100% needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's we're all dudes. Like, what the hell do we know about being a female and the female experience? That meant I'm so hesitant to do women's panels. Like I'm a dude, so you guys talk. I can't. That'd be awesome. And I love that quote, by the way. It's was it a rising tide lifts all ships?
Something like that. Yeah.
That was a good quote. That's awesome. I hope she does it.
I hope she does too. And you know, I would love to, you know, help her out any way that I can. You know, if she needs, you know, people to be on the show, I'm more than happy to reach out to people, you know, that we've brought on the show, people that we've talked to, or even being on the show to get some legs under it and then get that momentum going behind her.
Yeah, I would definitely love to listen to Jenny's podcast because, one, I at least love Jenny as a person, and her personality is amazing. Plus, I love listening to her just in general because her voice is amazing. I love it.
Yeah. She's awesome.
Well, cool, guys. This was a lot of fun. Steve, I appreciate you coming on and, you know, doing this with us. I listened to your podcast and it was a revelation when I realized that I have no idea how Ball State started. So I really enjoyed learning that, and always, you know, talking to you, man. It was a pleasure having you on. Thank you for coming on. We'll have to do it again soon and see how much further along we are at, you know, the NDI.
That'd be a good, like, state of the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, Miles, go ahead. My bad, dude.
No, you're good. I wasn't going to say anything.
I was going to say, before I get the curtain, if I may do some shout-outs. I don't know if you guys are cool with that. Just
yeah, go for ahead. It, man.
Bring it up. Some...
So, yeah, earlier when you'd said that you guys kind of saw me as like the one dude behind Ball State, I kind of just wanted to take a moment and kind of correct that. Definitely not faulting you guys at all, but there are a ton of people that have helped with Ball State, and I just wanted to kind of name off a few. So first and foremost, a huge thank you, and shout out really to Joe Fernandez. I mean, we have talked dodgeball. We talked about doing things for dodgeball for years. And so he was a great sounding board. He was a great person to feed off of. And he's been great at providing, you know, his advice. And, we wouldn't be here without him. Huge thank you to Grace Bird as well. As I said, she's kind of like this mentor figure. Like, we would not be where we are without her input and what she's been allowed, what she's been able to do for us. Basically take like our first year and give it steroids, and that was Grace. So she definitely made this happen. Huge thanks to Brett Cobble and Sergio Leone for stepping up and helping out as well. And for the, I almost want to say like the early adapters, but I mean, I could not thank enough Crystal Briones, Mira Panina. I don't know if I got her name right, but Mira, Markel Stokes. I mean, that guy has always been clutch at helping out in vendors. When we're vendoring in booths, huge thank you to Kevin Fry. That guy worked his butt off to get us into the NCAA, even with this club, and kind of helped me understand from that angle. And on that note, like, thank you to Jacob Lepsky and all the guys from the NCAA as well, Felix Peroni and Hunter Ford. I mean, the stuff that we had planned for this year would have been huge. So the fact that we're going to get an additional amount of time to plan for next year is fantastic. I mean, it's not ideal, but we'll make it work. And then going back to the early adapters, Yosef Chandra, that man was like smuggling knee pads from Washington to Canada for us. And he helped us get into the Canadian market. And if the plans that we had for the future, if they continue to go as planned, it's going to be huge. But we couldn't have done it without people like this. Also, Keegan, I don't know his last name, but he's the guy that was our first ever like vendor employee that guy came in clutch with Kevin. The list goes on. Dominic Borgia, obviously. I mean, taking such awesome photos for us. And I mean that, just taking photos and just offering out to anybody who wants them to do whatever they want. The man gives so much, and it's just weird how he just asks for nothing in return. Weird, but awesome. And so, I mean, this list could go on. It definitely does go on. And but if I miss anybody, I sincerely apologize. But as I made that joke, you know, I've got a long memory. So if you had any hand in Ball State, even if you bought a pair of knee pads and that's it, I cannot thank you guys enough. That's you're the reason why I'm here. So just wanted to kind of take a moment on somebody else's platform to just air that out. So thank you.
Of course, man. It's always good catching up with you. Steve, where can everybody see what you have going on and follow you on socials and reach out to you at?
Yeah, I'm trying to cool with the memes. You'll see me on there for sure. I love talking gifts. But yeah, ballstaygear.com, the dodgeballpodcast.com. I'm on SoundCloud. I've got a little Facebook group where I do most of my episode drops. I like to think I'm pretty approachable. So if you ever see me out in the booth, come say hi and tell me this sucks or it's great and it will be heard. I have a great memory, as I said earlier. So I'll probably remember it forever. I think you know how to find me. So
cool, man. This was a lot of fun. We'll definitely have to do a part two because we barely even touched on the origins of the Dodgeball podcast.
Yep.
But
I got a lot to talk about.
Everybody that's listening, you know, go follow us. Make sure you're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Hit that follow button. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Miles, I'm good if you're good.
I'm good.
We out.
Thanks, guys.